Colossians chapter 1, reading from the King James. In verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you," what? "Might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work," and doing what? "Increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet," or able, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." See what's already been done? He delivered us. He has delivered us from what? The power of darkness. And we've already been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And I like some of these other translations here. The NIV, New International Version of Colossians 1:11, it says, "being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." So this is showing us here, and the New Living Translation. It says, "we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light." Hallelujah. Now, I know they may not have this. This is the Phillips translation. It says, "as you live this new life, we pray that you will be strengthened from God's boundless resources so that you will find yourself able to pass through any experience and endure it with courage." So that means that when we're strengthened with his might, strengthened where? In this inner man, this inside, we can endure the things that we're confronted with, that we experience, and we can endure it with what? Courage, inner strength. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, just looking back through some scriptures that we've meditated upon. And I wanted to point something out here, which we didn't on Sunday. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14 and 15 and 16, it says, in the King James, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," verse 15, "of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named," in verse 16 and 17, "that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might." That's the word dunamis, or miracle-working power. How? "By his spirit in the inner man, that Christ," verse 17, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith," and I'm going to continue, "that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with" what? "All the fullness of God." Verse 20, "now unto him that is able to do exceedingly," or "exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The New Living Translation in verse 16 says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. So, just pointing this out here, if you notice in the King James, let's look at verse 16 again in the King James. He said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He said he did what? He's praying that they would be strengthened. He didn't say that he prayed that they would have strength. He said that they would be strengthened. So you can't be strengthened with something that you don't have already. Everybody understand that? I know there's a lot of blank faces. I must say it again. I can't say to you, strengthen your muscles if you didn't have them. You already have muscles. You were born with them. You need to exercise them. Some of us do. But he said to be strengthened with might, where? In the inner man. So when we received Christ, we received what? The fruit of the Spirit because of his presence. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness or faith, and so forth. So we received some things in us, and he said what? We needed to be strengthened. So that means you've already got something in you that needs to be what? Developed and exercised. So just the same way you have muscles that need to be exercised, you have some things in you because you are a new creature in Christ that need to be what? Exercised. That's why we're talking about being strengthened in our inner man, that if you don't strengthen them, if you don't exercise them, it's going to be difficult in life. It has to be strengthened. It has to be exercised. That's James. Just having faith is not enough. Faith without works, faith without exercising something is dead. See? So we've got to exercise something. And that's really, really the theme of these messages, that we've got to be established or strengthen something, be established in what we already have. We can't ask God, strengthen me. That's what Paul didn't ask God to strengthen him in 2 Corinthians. He just said, I've had enough of this. And God said, he said what? My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And then what did Paul on the heels of that? He said, I glory in my infirmities. Because when I'm weak, he said, then he makes me strong. So when we find ourselves weak or not in our fleshly mind or in our soulish area, feeling like we're not able to handle this, you may not be. But when we take and make an effort to do what? To move or to exercise something, then that's when the strength comes. That's when the inner strength comes, the ability to handle that. Right? Does everybody understand? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 16, which really it's saying this, the same thing. So when we say we need to be strengthened, it just means that we're being established or we're exercising something we've already received. 2 Corinthians in the King James, chapter 4 and verse 16, 17 and 18, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen." See, this is what we're walking through right now. Look not at the things which are seen. Doesn't mean you don't take it into consideration, but you don't embrace it. You don't fear something that you see. It says, look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which what? Are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This word, when it says the inward man is renewed, this word renew means to cause to grow up new, to make new, to be changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the former corrupt state. It just means that we're growing up on the inside. How are we doing that? By, I think they have the Amplified, put the same thing up in the Amplified, verse 16, because this is really, I like the way the Amplified puts this, the Amplified Classic. It says, "Therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, wearied out through fear." It says, "Though our outer man is what? Progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day by day." You could say it's being renewed. That's another way to put it. Being renewed, or you say being renewed or established in what we already have in our inner man. We have all of this fruit sitting in there, and it needs to be exercised. It needs to be developed or established. And so, and how is that done? Progressively, little by little, little by little. We come together, we feed upon the word. You make your daily professions of faith. That establishes something inside of you. You're faced with some uncomfortable situation, and at that point you say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's where we're going to touch on some other scriptures that we read Sunday, but we have to then what? We have to make a choice. God's not going to make you. He's given you the ability. What does it say? He's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So that means I don't have to make that choice. And so until this inner man gets developed, you know, you think about this, until you discipline yourself, you know, who wants to get up and exercise at 5 or 6 in the morning? Nobody. But you discipline yourself to get up and exercise until you want to. And it's the same thing spiritually. We develop ourselves spiritually so that the spirit of the man is greater than the desires of the soul and the flesh. So when the soul and the flesh say, I want to do this, the inner man says, no, we're not doing that. And it has the capacity, the inner strength to take charge. Even though your flesh is screaming, your mind is screaming, Your inner man takes control, takes charge. And that comes how? Progressively. So what does that mean? That may mean we may miss it along the way. We may make some missteps. because this inner man hasn't been developed enough to do what? Control the fleshly desires, control the soul. Some things may come easy to you, but some things may be more difficult. That takes time. You see that in the natural. What do athletes do? They struggle in a certain area. What do? They keep going at it. They keep going at it till they get better at it. Some things may come easy to somebody as an athlete. I mean, when you see some of the athletes, I mean, just look at, you know, and I think about, you know, when they tell stories about Kobe Bryant and some of these people, Steph Curry, some of these basketball players, they're in there 2, 3, 4 hours warming up before they get to practice. Shooting 2, 3, 4,000 shots before they get to practice. Why? Because they want to get better at something. Maybe they weren't as good. You saw it with Tiger Woods. He wanted to spend more time developing something with his golf game. So it's the same thing, that we may make some missteps along the way, but it's progressive. Until this inner man gets established to the place where it says, we're not doing that. We're not going to say that. We're not going to act that way. You see. And that takes some work, doesn't it? That takes some work. So we can see here that in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22, if they could put up the New Living Translation, it'd be better. Chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 22 through 24, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and what? Desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. So that's something we have to do. We have to make a choice that we're going to nail these passions, things that may get us into trouble or may not be pleasing to God, that we have to nail them to the cross. And we have to do what? We have to count it all joy when we face these things. So, First Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, in the King James, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as what? Common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So that means that Jesus... And the scripture, it says, he waxed strong. He grew and waxed strong, Luke 2:40. But we can see here that Jesus, what does the scripture say in 1 John 2, I believe it is? It says, we're to walk even as he walked. So that means just the same way he walked this earth. He was tempted with the same things that we're tempted with. Except he didn't sin. Now, yes, he didn't have the Adamic curse. He didn't have sin. He was born from above. But he still was a man. He could have. Because if it said he was tempted, that means he was tempted. And so he had the same choice to make. He could have made a choice to miss it and to sin. But what does it say? He came to do his Father's will. So it just means that we need to develop this inner man. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 3. again, we looked at this Sunday, but let's look at this again, starting in, well, let's read the first few verses. And it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Isn't that good? For you're dead. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Look at verse 5. Mortify. So what does that imply? You. That's you. You have to do something. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And it goes on and says that in verse 7, it says, in the which you also walked sometimes when you lived in them. Verse 8, but now you also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10, and have done what? Put on the new man, which is what? Renewed. How is it renewed? In knowledge, after the image of him that created him. So we're going to put on this new man and be renewed by knowledge. Hallelujah. Now let's take a look at, I just want to look at this, these last scriptures that we didn't touch on Sunday. Well, we did on this. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 in the New Living Translation, verse 21 through 23. In the New Living Translation, Ephesians chapter 4, it says, starting in verse 21, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned what? The truth, how we renewed in knowledge. We learned the truth that comes from him. Throw off your old sinful nature. Saying the same thing again. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Throw off your sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted. How is it corrupted? By lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit, this is what we're talking about, we were over in Colossians, being strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man. This says here, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. That's good. So the Holy Ghost will help us renew our thoughts and attitudes. Now let's look over, let's take a look. I want to land on this evening here. 2 Peter, it's a familiar scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter in the King James, chapter 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. Says, according as his divine power, that's the dunamis power, of miracle-working power of God, hath done what? Hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Here we go again. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, the word of God, that by these great and precious promises, you might be what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, in this good news. So we have these great and exceeding great and precious promises that it says that we can be strengthened by, but what does it also says that we become through them partakers of what? His divine nature. So through the word of God, we become partakers of his divine nature, and we've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It helps us partake of his divine nature and helps us do what? Escape the corruption of the world. Through the what? Through the word. This is why when we look at things, how are people going to escape the traps and the things that have bound them? Through the word. First of all, you partake of these great and precious promises. First of all, we partook of his divine nature by doing what? Hearing the word of God, believing it, and accepting him as Lord. So that was the first step. We believed the word, we accepted him, and we partook of his divine nature. Did we not? Absolutely. And so here we continue through these great and precious promises to partake of his divine nature, and we escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. How do people escape the bondages that they have? Yes, the power of God can help them, but it continuously, it's going to be through the word of God. That's how they're going to escape that. So we can see here, if they have the, I don't think you have that translation. You could put up the New Living Translation. That's, in verse 4, yeah. It says, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and do what? Escape. Say escape. Escape the world's corruption. Whoo, boy. Caused by human desires. So this word helps us to be partners with his nature. That's why I like this. I don't think they have the Passion Translation. If you do, fine. If you don't, then this verse 4. But, oh, they do have it. Okay. It says, as a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, I love this, through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature, by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. So this is the good news that we can bring people, that you can escape, you can break free of these bondages and the corrupt desires that you may have, you can break free of them. And you can share the good news of the word of God, that the word of God will help you break free. The word of God will help you. Hallelujah. I don't know if there's another translation. I don't know if they have the New Century Version. If they do, fine. If they don't, I'll just read it. But this is the NCV translation. I see a head shaking. No, they probably don't. This says here, verse 4 of 2 Peter, it says, through these, he's talking about his word, his precious promises. Through these, he gave us the very great and precious promises. With these gifts, you can share in being like God. and the world will not ruin you with its evil desires. Oh, boy, I love this. This is a great translation. It's called the New Century Version. It says, through these, he gave us the very great and precious promises. With these gifts, you can share in being like God, and the world will not ruin you with its evil desires. So what does that mean? That means that when I have this inner man built up, that I've built up my spiritual immune system to the place where outside things can't ruin me. It can't affect me. It won't touch me. Just like when we talk about from the natural standpoint, what is it? The spiritual is greater than the natural. So when I build up this inner man, outside things that try to corrupt won't ruin me. They won't affect me. They won't have the same impact. Why? Because my spiritual man is strengthened, is established, is built up on the inside. Let's take one last look here as we close. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. Colossians 2. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. This is what 1 John says. Same thing. So as you've received him, walk ye like in him and like him. Verse 7, rooted and what? Built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after what? The tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are what? Complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So we're complete in him, but we need to be established. That's what he's praying here. He's praying, as you have therefore received Christ the Lord, walk in him, walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then he tells them, beware. Don't let any man spoil you, and so forth, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. So we're to be built up, we're to be established in the faith. How are we going to do that? By keep feeding on the word, but then acting upon it, acting upon the word of God. And it will do what? It will progressively renew this inner man. It will establish this inner man so that we will walk like him. That's the whole crux of this, to keep this inner man strengthened. Keep it built up. Keep progressively working. Don't feel like, you know, I'll just never arrive. I'll never reach that. You know, well, then you just gave up. You're now taking a position against something that the word says you already are. It says you are complete in him. The fullness of the Godhead bodily is in you. So when you say, I can't do it, that's not what the word says. The word says you have the potential in you to do all things through Christ. You just have to make a choice to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. And the Word and the Holy Ghost will do what? Strengthen you to do it. So we have to make a choice. If you fall, get up and keep going. Keep moving forward. You know, just think about it. Ever remember and you look back on your life and you go, what was I all upset about that for? You know, when you were 5 and then 10 and then 15 and 20 and you look back on your life and go, what was I all out of sorts over that? Because you weren't developed yet. So those things that you were all upset about when you got older, you go, nothing. You've had some life experience that you dealt with it. You handled it. Same thing spiritually. We get strengthened on the inner man. We walk as he walked. And what does that mean? It means that when we're faced with unlovely situations, when we're faced with something that seemingly is greater, you need to say, no, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The love of God in me is greater than this unlovely person. The peace of God in me is greater than this unpeaceable environment that I'm working in. The peace of God is greater. When you want to be unfaithful to something, you say, no, the faith of God in me establishes me to be faithful. When you don't want to be gentle, you say, no, I'm going to be gentle and kind. I don't want to, but I'm going to. And the power of God will come in to help us. How is that done? Progressively. I remember this year. I remember when we were at a ministers' conference in Lancaster. You know, Pastor Marvin Yoder was there, and he was sharing some things. You know, he didn't get into specifics, but he just said there was an area of his life that he wanted to improve. He didn't specify what that area was, but he said, I was not satisfied. I wanted to improve in this area. And he said, I found a message. And he said, now, I'm not going to tell you what it is because it was for me. And he said, I found a message that ministered to me. And he said, I listened to it and listened to it and listened to it. He said, I must have listened to it hundreds of times. And he said, over a period of, I think he said a few years. And he said, I got to the place where I got sick of listening to it. And he said, I realized that when you feel like you're sick of listening to something, you ain't got it yet. So he said, I didn't have it yet. So I kept listening and listening and listening and listening. And he said, I started to get it in this area. So there has to be this desire that I'm going to improve in a particular area and I'm going to grow in God in a particular area. And how am I going to do that? I have to be strengthened with his strength, his ability. Where? On the inner man. And what does this say here in 2 Peter? It says that through these promises, these gifts we can share, this is what the New Century said, we can share in being like God, and the world will not ruin you with its evil desires. So I can walk through this earth where everybody else is being impacted and affected by the stuff going on in this earth, but it won't touch me. It won't affect me. And how's that going to happen? By a strong inner man, strengthened through the knowledge of God and by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we're growing. We're getting strengthened by your spirit in our inner man. And we thank you that the evil, corrupt things that come through human beings. We thank you that they will not impact us or affect us. We thank you that we can walk in the supernatural divine attributes of God through his word. We can partake of his divine nature through these great and precious promises. And we thank you that it also helps us to escape the corruption that is in the world. And we thank you, Father, that it will have no impact. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. You know, when you think about it, just think of the scripture. When we're talking about this, think about the scripture in John 13:34. He said that we are to walk in love towards who? Each other, so that the world may know that what? That we're his what? His disciples. That's not just walking in, you know, that's walking in agape. That's walking in the God kind of love. How are you going to do that? You're going to do that being strengthened in this inner man so that they'll know. And that was one of the things that even Lynn Hammond was sharing. She was saying, if we don't walk as the body of Christ, if we don't exhibit his nature here in this earth, how are they going to know that he's God? They won't know that. And I'm convinced, I really am. She was talking about this also. This is in my heart. It's been in there for years. I don't know why, but I'm telling you, she was talking about some of these earlier individuals that have gone on before us, John G. Lake, others. And she said that John G. Lake had, back at that time, they had healing rooms where people would come that had different kinds of ailments and things. They would come to their location and they would just like a doctor assess, where are you spiritually, right? So I'm not here to assess your ailment, but I'm here to assess where are you spiritually and help them, and they would walk away healed. And I believe that as we are, what a testimony to be able to boldly put up on your marquee sign, you need healing from some virus, come here, you'll get healed. And boldly say it. So you're not wishy-washy, not wondering, what are you going to do when somebody walks across the front of the door with some disease? You're going to go, don't get near me. No, I believe that the church is going to come into a season where it's going to be the place for people to go get healed and to walk in. I'm convinced of this, that just the same way people feed on and create an atmosphere of fear, in a church setting, there can be an atmosphere created where there's no strife, where there's no bickering and hatred. There can be an atmosphere where healing prevails, where people just walk in the door and they're healed. Because of what? The atmosphere. The atmosphere of heaven. And that can be created and generated by those that assemble. I'm convinced of it. I'm absolutely convinced of it. But it takes us all doing what? Growing in the things of God and having a mindset that it's not just something God wants us to be. He's already said, you are healed. Take what's been provided. He's not trying to get us healed. We are healed. We just have to take what's been given. Amen. Praise God. Father, we're so grateful this evening to know that you love us. We thank you for this great word that's given to us and penned that we can feed upon. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.